Welcome to the main reader on Main Airs, the main audio information and reading service, a program of the Iris Network, serving Maine's blind and visually impaired. My name is Cynthia Bowman, and I'm reading The Log of the Skipper's Wife, the diary of Dorothea Moulton Bellano, edited by her son, James W. Bellano. Our last episode took Dorothea to spend more time with her still fairly new husband's family. She gave lovely descriptions of the land and foliage, the people, and the meals they shared around the Port Clyde area. But in just over a month, our author developed a strong case of sea fever and longed to depart for Rio de Janeiro. We'll finish her account of October 31st, 1911, as she says goodbye to Boston. I may miss the Keith Theater, but not until I'm at sea a while, because the tumbling, dancing, singing, and joking was good, but it might be more appreciated after a long passage at sea, which I now look forward to so long as my skipper, in his skipping, doesn't get his feet caught too often in his mouth. Shall really miss Tremont Temple and its splendid male quartet, with Dr. Cortland giving practicable prayers instead of sky piloting. Shall miss, too, those splendid paintings by Sargent in the public library, The Law and the Prophets, Moses in bas-relief. Can take with me fond memories of Lulu Glaser, who played a charming and distinguished lead in Miss Didelsack, and the opera, and the Boston Theater's ghost dance of chorus girls, and new Old South Church, Reverend Gordon, and the magic at the Mechanics Exposition, where the United Shoe Machinery Company's booth showed new methods of manufacturing. Lovely Aida, my favorite opera, I'll take with me to see, because I can't stop humming L'Estudinatina. I shall ever thank Mrs. Hopkins, the wife of the man for whom the vessel was named, for presenting me with the winning of Barbara Worth and, 2 years before the mast, as a going-away gift. Two, I shall have with me at sea memories of Blanche Bates's wonderful acting in Nobody's Widow at the Hollis. She's a powerful actress. Wednesday, November 1st, 1911. Boston. Loaded at last and bound for Rio with the usual Christmas cargo, which Fred and his father have carried to Rio for years, ice packed in sawdust and topped off with barrels of apples. Away we go. Noon. Away we did not go. Not enough wind to fly a kite, and the fog so thick one can't see the jib boom. Towed out to a humiliating anchorage on the East Boston Flats. Fred and I shared our misery by visiting Captain and Mrs. Hinckley on board the Harwood Palmer. Later, Captain Jim Creighton of Thomaston visited us and said there would be a chance to get to sea in the morning. He claimed the wood would go around northwest because his leg had stopped aching. He saw our chicken coop atop the deckhouse and advised me to stuff my ears with cotton each night. Otherwise that rooster will ruin your beauty sleep, he said. P.M. Finished reading The Winning of Barbara Worth and started 2 years before the mast, which Fred says is fiction. It doesn't read like fiction. Fred kept interrupting with talk about buying a farm. Thursday, November 2nd, 1911, 4 a.m. Rushed into a few clothes and scurried on deck, awakened by the creaking rigging, the mizzen sail majestically lifted in the gray darkness to the sound of rough voices. Then appeared the main and foresails. The great booms swung into position. Next, the stately great spanker and, as if staged, a great red ball of sun. Below the fort we hoisted fore-staysail and outer jib, flying jib still tied up. Sailing out of bay all day in company with many schooners and steamers, past Cape Cod Light at sunset, put a whole basket of clothes to soak. Fred spent most of the evening buying a farm, the last thing I, brought up on a farm, want to hear about. I'll take 2 years before the mast. Fred says he's going to have the crew build a gangway, so I won't have to use the ladder. Told him that was very thoughtful of him. I want a child, and he presents me with a gangway. Friday, November 3rd, 1911, at sea. Will I ever get those clothes washed? Not if I continue to sleep mornings. Better let the rooster wake me. Northwest snow flurries. A large Cunarder passed, bound for wonderful Europe. Saturday, November 4th, 1911. Clothes finally dried. Sewed on ship flags. Such good apples. Off we go on a course towards the Cape Verde Islands to make our easting and catch the northeast trades for the slant to Rio. A stiff westerly is scudding us along at a good rate. Made cornstarch ice cream. There's plenty of ice. Monday, November 6th. Rough and tumbly sea. Finished a pillow slip. Tired. Vessel too jumpy to do much sewing. At least it's a good excuse to read. Wednesday, November 8th, 1911. 55-15 west longitude, 37-25 north latitude. In center of stormy region of Gulf Stream. Wind southerly and blowing like fury. All sails on but outer jib and two topsails. Fred carries sails when others would take them in. Embroidered on nightgown. Fred shook out reef and spanker this morning. Is it to make work? He claims it's a sin for a crewman not to be busy. Will I ever get the starching and ironing done? Ought to wash my hair. I took the sights today, and Fred said I was within a heaving line's distance of his position. Saturday, November 11th, 1911. Awful sea running and a southwest gale blowing, all sails down and tied up, only the rudder to steer by. Lying in trough of sea, the cabin furniture danced merrily about until the steward tackled piece by piece and moored them. Sunday, November 12th. No ice cream today, main boom gone overboard, and mizzen sail followed it flying. Mountainous seas running all day. No chance for sights. Hoisted storm trysail. Crew bent new mizzen. All hands got soaked. Monday, November 13th, 1911. 44-34 west longitude, 34-04 north latitude. Storm trysail parted in center at midnight. No sails on until morning. Finished embroidering my new initials on nightgown and will wear it to show Fred tonight. Tuesday, November 14th. Wind northerly. All sails set except main, topsails, and outer jib. Wind shifty and sea so treacherous that we tried oil to calm it. The oil helped. My boy is tired. Sights at 8:45, and I worked mine out almost as quickly as Fred did. He must be tired. Wednesday, November 15th, 43 degrees 22 west longitude, 32 degrees 20 north latitude. Fished main boom. All sails set at last. Ironed. Served on reinforced flags. Put up a new curtain in the closet, and Fred said, "No wonder you got through the University of Minnesota on wind and no cash, if you can make a nice curtain out of scrap sails." Started on a set of doilies for Mother B's Christmas present. Thursday, November 16th, 1911. All sails set, but no wind. Fred says it reminds him of a former teammate on the Port Clyde baseball team who was all wind up and no pitch. Rain squall in PM. Back almost broken from ironing. Still have fresh vegetables. Must buy a book on astronomy to study stars. How shall I ever get through this long trip? I know. I'll make ice cream. Fred says that way out here in the middle of the Atlantic, my ice cream tastes as good as Mrs. Thurlow's in Rockland. A compliment? With these downeasters, it's hard to tell. Friday, November 17th, 39 degrees 58 west longitude, 31 degrees 45 north latitude. Houghton, second mate, logged for incompetence and demoted to sailor, and bored to extinction. Little wind, made fudge. PM, wind rising, saw several schools of flying fish, resumed 2 years before the mast. Very interesting and real. Only 13 out of 22 chickens left, the others all drowned in the gale. Saturday, November 18th, 36 degrees west longitude, 30 degrees 32 north latitude. Dawson now standing in as second mate, but prefers to stay in forecastle with the other three blacks, all good sailors. Houghton standing watches as sailor, but allowed to keep his room aft. Sold a good bit of soap to the crew tonight. Sunday, November 19th. Flying fish on board, but died before I could get him back in the water. Wind southwest, and we're making great speed with all sails set. Sailors wash out on lines up forward. Made fudge today, and Fred ate most of it. Will he ever stop eating? Chicken for dinner. Will we get the northeast trades in a few days? Then we'll come about for Rio. I doubt that Fred ever read one page of 2 years before the mast. It was written by no landsman. Monday, November 20th, 29 degrees north latitude, 34 degrees 35 west longitude. Wind came about to northeast. Hooray! A fine fair wind just where we want it, says Fred. Shows what poor luck and bad management will do, says I. Your management or God's, says Fred. He and I work together. Fred painting closet in chart room with right hand and eating fudge with left. I finished sewing on my linen gown in deck chair. To take fuller advantage of the beautiful breeze, we rigged a spare jib between the fore and main and another between the main and mizzen. Fred says soon the vessel will be all top and no bottom. Trolling for dolphin with a long line over the stern. The sun sank gloriously into a white bank of fog on the horizon, lighting the water to deep purple, while to windward the sky is the same dull gray above bluest of waters. Peace disturbed by a yell from Fred as the troll line went taut. He bounded to the rail barefooted and, in what looked like one leap, fresh fish tomorrow. Tuesday, November 21st, 1911, 21 degrees 18 north latitude, 32 degrees 20 west longitude, course south by east. Northeast wind continues fine and fair, sailors painting house. I started more Christmas presents, beautiful sunset. Fred must have eaten enough dolphin to make him sick. Wednesday, November 22nd, 1911. Cloudy, no sights. Neither of the Bolanos feels well today. The fish or the pork scraps? Sails on starboard side now for 6 days. Fred says he'd like to shift them to the other side, but would lose distance by changing course for even a few hours. Thursday, November 23, 1911. Washed. Awful. Friday, November 24th, 17 degrees 1 north latitude, 27 degrees 40 west longitude. About 1 degree due west of the Cape Verde Islands, course due south, ironed and ironed. Very unhappy in this beautiful weather. Is it because Fred says we shall have no baby until we get a farm? Saturday, November 25th. Sighted 3 steamers bound northeast. Much phosphorescence on the water last night. Easterly winds this morning. A fourth steamer, the Argyle of Newcastle, came close to us, and we signaled her to report us. Caught another dolphin. We'll try it without pork scraps, even though it breaks the old steward's heart. Sunday, November 26, 11 degrees 3, north latitude, 25 degrees 6, west longitude. Schools of porpoises playing all day about vessel, and flying fish very beautiful. Made cornstarch ice cream. Bilge pump shows surprisingly little melting of ice cargo. Monday, November 27, 1911, 8 degrees 25 north latitude. In the doldrums, and it squalled early this morning, so no longitude sight. I now understand why Fred promoted Dawson. As Fred says, Dawson would be a captain if he were white. During the squall, the ability of the man showed. The sequence, captain, captain, with a knock on the port. Yes, Dawsey. Captain, dere am a little white squall ahead. Take in the outer jib. Dey's a-doin' it now, sir. A bit later. Captain, dat white squall am gettin' big and black. Take in the topsails, Dawsey. Dey's done got it done, sir. Will we ever get to Rio? Stole another barrel of apples today. Wednesday, November 29th, 1911. 5 degrees 30 north latitude. Washed. Made only 1 degree since yesterday noon. At this rate, Christmas will get to Rio before we do. Poor Rio, without Christmas ice. Poor me, with the gangway coming nicely instead of a baby. Thursday, November 30th. Thanksgiving for most people, but not for me. Last night, in the deck chairs, with the great dipper close, talked to Fred about a baby. First he said that he was enough for me to handle right now. Then he said we'd get a farm first. That got him on farming, about which he knows nothing beyond the fact that he likes the taste of vegetables. Ironed all day until my back felt broken. Saturday, December 2nd. Passed a European bark last night, bound for that delectable land. A farm, indeed, not for little me. Still calm, but very rough. There's been quite a blow somewhere near us. Shifted sails to portside for the first time in 2 weeks. Still 4 degrees north of equator. Steamer passed on weather bow, bound for Africa. Headwinds for us. Lucky steamer. Rio is so far away. Shall take the curse off by making ice cream. Sunday, December 3rd. Made cornstarch ice cream with a can of strawberries in it. Feeling blue, Fred said, "What can I do to show my great love?" I said, "Have some more ice cream." What I did not say was, "Stop farming and let me start a baby." Monday, December 4th, 1911. Full moon, calm. I am bored. Is it the farm or the moon? Passed a steamer this morning and sighted a square rigger. No sleep last night after the day's washing, and am still all in today. Feel as though I'd been on a week's spree. Fred says I look it. Hot, hotter, hottest. 73 miles north of the line and a little east of St. Paul's Rocks. 2,000 miles to Rio. Thursday, December 7th, 1911. 3 degrees 20 south latitude, 28 degrees west longitude. In bed the past 2 days with pains. Never a child for me, I guess. Going blind with reading and sewing. God send us Rio before I lose both sight and mind. Fred fishing and I consoling myself with thoughts of the gangway. Some consolation. Sails still on port side. Fine trade winds. Crossing the line, Fred tried to cheer me up with the story about the woman tourist who asked the steamer captain to point out to her the equator. The old devil plucked a hair from his head and put it across his binoculars so the woman could see the line. She was most pleased, and then asked, "And is that a camel walking on the line?" The new Jibboom guy has been troubling Fred a good bit. Saturday, December 9th, 1911, 30 degrees 3 west longitude, 8 degrees 34 south latitude. Wind died out during p.m. Made salad for supper to keep my mind off gangways, moons, dolphins, and Fred. Little does a woman know of her husband when she marries, but she learns quite soon. I suppose I should be thankful that I can go to sea with him. It could be worse. Say, on a farm, for instance. Sela. Sunday, December 10th, 1911. 10 degrees 30 south latitude, 33 degrees west longitude. Another dolphin. Fred says we carry our own fresh fish market along with us. Steamer sighted last night, bound north. Husband shown my plans for a house. Not for 5 years, he said, and then one with furnace, fireplaces, and a bath. Great, but must I wait 5 years for a home and children? Not on your tintype. Monday, December 11th, 13 degrees 18 south latitude. Served another pair of linen drawers. Fred painted after companionway. Doesn't our gangway look splendid? Sails still on starboard side. Fred says they must be aching. Tuesday, December 12th, 1911, 15 degrees 39 south latitude, 840 miles to Rio. Men doused awning with salt water to prevent mold. Aired the linen locker. My old white Peter Pan blouse is wearing out, thanks be. From looking over logbooks of past voyages, I find that we may be becalmed in this spot for a week or more. So much for Fred's usual statement that God Almighty's wind is stronger than steam. Wednesday, December 13th. Calm all day, in company with full-rigged Norwegian ship. Hi-ho! Isn't it awful to have to wash every week? But the tropics take so many clothes, and I cannot bear smelly ones. Tomorrow is wash day. Served mattress cover. Only 540 miles to Rio. Will we ever get there? Can't possibly make it before Monday at best, and will lose our premium of $100 per day for each day under 45 days for the total trip. Thursday, December 14th, 1911. 19 degrees 20 south latitude, 36 degrees west longitude. Fred has been fun today and even helped me with the wash. Ex-second mate Houghton is tarring down the rigging in the bosun's chair. Dawson is lowering him away. Such is justice on the good ship Hopkins. Beautiful flaky little clouds in a brilliant blue sky. Clothesline parted in new skirts and blouses all spotted. Wish we were in Rio, going places. Is it my farm background that makes me want to go to places and see everything? Friday, December 15th. War ship. Sails on port side nearly a month, except for short times. Fred said he could hear the booms groaning with toothaches, so he had to shift them. P.M. Sails back to port to hold course. Amen. While Houghton was aloft, we dug out his room, and for once the door is open. Poor little half-man. All seafaring men, even to skippers, are very pronounced characters with strong peculiarities. Houghton is to be paid off in Rio, if we ever get there. Saturday, December 16th, 1911. 240 miles to go to Cape Frio. Good breeze blew up from northwest. We boomed along all night and all day. Stamped Mother B's doilies. Taking an inventory of everything for entering the ship at customs in Rio. Made fudge. First time I felt like it in weeks. If that villainous husband of mine ever tells me how much better is Helen G.'s fudge than mine again, I'll throw the entire mess overboard. Sunday, December 17th, 1911. Northwest wind all night. Fred up early looking for land. Cape Frio rumored to be some 40 miles to westward. Dawson climbed spanker rigging to look for it. Much fog. No land at 8 a.m. 9 a.m. Land ho! Feel like Columbus making San Salvador and Balboa beholding the gentle Pacific. Those two can't hold a candle to my joys at seeing the mountains of Brazil. The fingers of God, they're called. Chocolate ice cream today. Monday, December 18th, 1911. Becalmed between Cape Frio and Rio. Wouldn't you know? Is it the sugar loaf we see so tantalizingly in the distance? Is it hot? Tugboat at 1:30 p.m. A big engine in a small white hull. One man clad in tattered white drawers and a long knife hailed us in English, fluent but hardly understandable. 40 pounds sterling to tow us in and, later, out. Fred talked him down to 30 while I fumed over Downey's niggardliness. What's 10 pounds between us and Rio? My lovely varnished gangway over the side and a new awning up for entertaining friends. My spirits are soaring. Sugarloaf, a stupendous rock upended. Wonderful line of dotted beach for miles and miles, and electric lights along the diamond necklace of Botafogo Bay. The forts fired salutes to us as we entered entrancing Rio. Much mail, many beautiful tall ships, and, on the dock, many friends, including Otis Fales from Thomaston. Hundreds of Brazilians waiting for the ice. It should be a merry Christmas. That's all we have time for in this edition of The Main Reader. We're reading The Log of the Skipper's Wife, The Diary of Dorothea Moulton Bolano, edited by her son, James. I'm Cynthia Bowman. Thank you for listening.